for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, May the 25th, 1992. Final service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting. Carol and Jack Canada of Phoenix, Arizona are the ministers of the morning.
Jesus went out into the wilderness, and Satan came to tempt him. You know, I can't really believe how dumb he is sometimes, Satan. You know, here he goes and offers the Lord all the kingdoms of the earth, and here he just came from all glory. You know, and think that God's going to trade where, think Jesus is going to trade where he just came from for what he saw here. I mean, this don't make sense. You know what I'm saying? That's how dumb the devil is sometimes. And so on Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5, it says, "Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish.'" Now, Satan had this ability to give it to whoever he wanted to, the kingdoms of this earth. He said, how come? Because it had been delivered unto him. Now, who delivered it unto him? Adam did. I'm trying to say this one point. I'll read it one scripture to say one thing to you. He'll only get from you what you deliver unto him. Yeah. Jesus came back and took it all back for us. See, it's all here for us. And that which we want to surrender back unto him, he'll take. So I'm saying to you, when you leave here this morning, all that God gave to you, set your will in motion and don't surrender it back to him. Amen. Amen. Don't surrender your children back to him. Don't surrender your future back to him. There's elderly people here today who think you're just over the hill. You're just starting. You're just starting. This man is 71 years old. They're about, he runs circles around me. I can't believe the energy that man has. It boggles me. I can't understand it. I say, you know, what do you own besides Jesus, man? I say, this guy just runs and runs. And both of them earn it too. It's just God. Amen? It's just God. Yes. I mean, he was 8 years old. You got hurt really, really bad. And God wants to take that deep hurt out of you. You let him do that? Okay, Father, right now, I just ask you to leave my sister from all this deep hurt, God. It goes so deep, Father. I saw her in the hallway, Father, getting scolded. And God, she's hurt so bad. And God, I ask you to do surgery on her spirit right now, Father. Her spirit's been wounded. And God, I ask you to heal that spirit, Father. In Jesus' name. Heal her right now, God. Release her, Father. Release her from this wound. Hallelujah. Let him do it, honey. Keep on letting him do it. Amen. Amen. Today I went back to that place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I knew before. And when they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, I don't go there anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears roll down my face, I try to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't go there anymore. Today I went back to that house where I used to live. My little boy, he ran here behind. you have a new daddy. Cause thanks to Calvary, we don't live there anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears roll down my face, I try to tell them, just because of Calvary. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man that I used to be. And thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. And as the tears roll down my face, I try to tell them, victory is the Lord. just begin to fight. Mm-hmm. We just begin to fight. Mm-hmm. When I get discouraged, I know he's the one. Amen. The main part of the chorus goes something like this. It's been in my spirit for a long time. It goes, I sing in the prisons a lot. It goes, where's the Lord God of Elijah? Hello, and my Redeemer and my friend. Any weapon formed against me will not prosper. For his eyes are a flame of fire. His words are my desire. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Hello, am my Redeemer and my friend. Any weapon formed against me will not prosper. For his eyes are a flame of fire, and his words are my desire. Victory is the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We sang that song last night. I forget what it was. It's that he's a lifter in the glory. He's the glory and lifter of my head. Amen. I want to share a little bit about that. Y'all might have heard it before, but it goes something like this. See, when, in Jewish tradition, when a person walks down the street and her head is hung low, okay, for whatever reason, and someone walks over to them and lifts that chin up, at that point in time, they take on a responsibility to fix whatever it is that's causing their head to be hung low. So whenever they see someone, a relative or whoever it might be, a friend that has a head down, so, you know, the love would go and say, I'm going to lift up your head. Now, what's the problem here? Let's get it resolved. See, so when your head's hung low, he said, I'm the glory and the lift of your head.
Yeah.
See? So when your head is hung low, he walks in and he said, come on, Jack. What's wrong, son? I'll fix it. Hallelujah. He's the glory and the lifter of my head. Amen.
Amen.
And the word friend is a covenant word. You know, we take it very lightly. He's my buddy. No. He's a friend. He's a covenant. He'll lay his life down for you. He did. He did lay his life down for us. And we call someone our friend. It's a big word. That means we're willing to lay our life down for them. And this is going to come to the business where it's going to be, you know, you get over in Russia, these hard, poor countries, and they don't have all this religious division. You know, they're just trying to stay alive. And they just work together. They're a body of Christ working together to spread the gospel. And they don't have the privilege of dissension, so to speak. They just take the word literally and do it. Amen. They just do it. Amen. Bless his name. Bless his name. Bless his name. Carol, you got something on share? Through it all, okay. I've had many tears and sorrow. Had questions about tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know. But in every situation,
yeah.
God gave me blessed consolation. Then my trial came only to make me strong. I stood through it all. I've been lots of places. I've seen a lot of faces. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation. And the trials came to only made me strong. Through it all, through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. This morning, Kim, Father, right now, this brother right now that wrote this song that so blessed your church, Father, and God, I ask you to deliver our brother right now from all the power of Satan holds over him. Release him, Father God, from all inherited curses, all ecclesiastic curses, Father God, all that he's yielded to, Father God, in the past. Break that satanic power holding him right now, God, in Jesus' name. And deliver him, Father God, and from the power of snare of the power, Father God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Father, we just praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Father, well, people would just do anything, Lord, to be in the presence of God as we've been this weekend. There are even people who would pay money, Lord, just to sit and feel the presence of God. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. We thank you that through it all, Lord, you're there for us. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We praise you. 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 Just move in our midst, Lord. Touch hearts, Father. Lord, I just ask that you move by your Holy Spirit. This brother right here that we prayed for, is there cancer in your body? Would you stand to your feet? I just felt the Lord wanted me to pray on something more. I feel, brother, that there's been someone who's literally hated your guts. And I want you to close your eyes, and I believe that the Holy Spirit will show you who that person is. And we're going to ask the Lord to release you from the curse from their heart of maliciousness. Father, right now, Lord, we lift this person to you. And, brother, I want you to look at their face as the Holy Spirit's showing you and say, I forgive you. Say that out loud and mean it from the depths of your being. I forgive you. Lift your head. Say, I forgive you. I forgive you for everything. I forgive you for all that you've done to me and against me and my family. I forgive you. And Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you release this brother from the malicious words, the hatred, even the murderous heart that's come against my brother. I ask that you break the power of death off of him in the name of Jesus. Father, we come against the powers of hell. I speak to the words of death. And in the name of Jesus, I break your power. I'm asking that you do a deep work in my brother right now, Lord. I'm asking that you take out of him, Father, all hidden anger. I ask, God, that you go deep within his heart, Lord. And that you take out of him, Father, all anger that goes deep. And even hatred that's been there for many years, Lord. I ask that you cleanse him, Father. That you wash him in the blood of Jesus. Father, this is the time that my brother must stand before you and be transparent. And Father, I'm asking that you go deep within him, God. That you release him from the power that the enemy holds over him through people. Through this person, God. Break the chains of death. I command the tumor and the demon of cancer, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I command you to come out of this body. I command the demon of cancer to come out of this body. I command the tumors of cancer to come out of him in the name of Jesus. I curse the very root and the very cells of cancer. I speak death upon the cancerous cells, the malignant cells. And in the name of Jesus, I command you to shrivel up and die. You have no right, for he shall live and not die. And I'm asking, Lord God, that you deliver him, God. And I'm asking that you break the chains of darkness over this stomach and over this colon and over every part of his organs, God. I'm asking that you release him from this person, God, who has cursed him and wanted him to die, Father, in the name of Jesus. And God, I'm asking today would turn, his whole life would be turned. Father, that you began a new work, a revelation, God, of repentance in his life. God, that he would begin every day to spend time on his knees saying, search me, O Lord, and know my heart and see if there is any wicked way in me. Father, I'm asking that you give him the revelation of seeing his own heart, seeing the things he's not understood, seeing the things that he's not known that were there. If he would have known they were there, he would have repented of them. But we ask, Father, that you grant to him the gift of repentance, that he go deep within his heart, God, and that he begin to be cleansed and healed and delivered from the inside out, God, as that cancer begins to fall off, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, I just pray for my brother, this precious pastor that has come this morning. Brother, I don't know your name. Your name. What is your name? The Lord loves you so much. You are a man of integrity. The Lord has shown me that. You're a man of your word, and you're a man of integrity. And would you stand to your feet and let us pray one more time for you, because I feel that there's something in your church. Someone maybe wants you out, or maybe a controller working in that church, and the Lord wants to break that. He wants to fight for you. And I want, Father, right now, stretch your hands, this precious man, as we intercede. Father, you know everything about that precious church. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking that you line up that church. Father, I'm asking, Lord, those who are with him cannot leave him, and those who are against him cannot stay. I'm asking, God, that you break the satanic power of the Jezebel spirit that's been working in that church to try and control. I'm asking, God, we wrestle with that Jezebel power, and we tear down the strongholds of a Jezebel spirit that it set its kingdom over that church to destroy. I'm asking, God, that you bind the powers of hell working through people. I'm asking, Father, that you humble the church bosses. I'm asking, God, that you put an end to the strife. I'm asking, Father, God, that you begin to close the mouth of the lion, God. I'm asking, Father, God, that you fight for my brother. Lord, he's been faithful in his ways, God. And I'm asking that you take every knife out of his back that's been put in there, God. I'm asking, Father, that you deliver him from every curse of death. I'm asking that you, Father, deliver him and stand by him, God. And I'm asking that you give him a new message, Father God, and a new fire of God that will burn within his heart, Lord. And that fire will begin to consume the people, God. And those who are with him will not leave him. And God, bring fresh blood into that church, God. Bring the youth into that church, God. For this man has a heart of a father, Lord. And the youth of this day is searching for the heart of a father. And I'm asking that you raise up a youth leader, God, who knows you, who has clean before you, who's holy before you. And Father, the youth will come, Father. New blood will come into this church, God. And I'm asking that you tear down that demonic king that set itself over that church. Tear it down in the name of Jesus. We destroy the works of Satan. And we command you to come down in the name of Jesus. And Father, let the blessing of God be upon this man and his family and his church and the works of his hands, God. The Lord, the latter days will be greater than the former days, God. Father, I'm asking that that anointing would be fresh upon him even this hour in Jesus' name. And I command the spirit of death to go. I command the spirit of death to go. You leave this man now. You have no place in him in the name of Jesus. And we rebuke you and command you to leave him now in Jesus' name. Bless him, Lord. Raise him up, God. Let that favor be upon him, God. People will see him in a new light, God. And I command that cloak that's been on him, it's been hidden. People have not valued him for what he has to give, God. And I command that to come off of him in the name of Jesus. Come off of him in the name of Jesus. That he will be a pillar in Hot Springs, Arkansas, God. That, Father God, people will begin to value him for who he is. and what he is in Christ Jesus. For this man is a man of integrity, and he loves you, Lord. And you bless him, God, and honor him, Father, among the people. And Lord, let your favor rest upon him as that new anointing comes within him. Brother, I'm going to ask you to do one thing for me. Just look out to the whole world and just say, world, I forgive all of them. Say it, I forgive them all. Say it, I forgive them all. Every one of them, I forgive them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise your Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Amen. Come on, Dan, get up here. Let's pray for the Millers. Let's all pray for the Millers.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord loves this couple. I tell you, man, I honor this couple and respect them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father,
yes,
right
Lord.
Now, Lord, we lift Irma to you, Father God. We lift Irma and Glenn to you, Lord Jesus. And Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, it's been heavy. It's been a weary road, Father God. It's been hard at times, and there's been times when they've gone to bed, they wouldn't even know if they'd wake up the next morning, God. But Father, I'm asking, Lord, that you release them, God, from all the power and all the opposition that's come against them in the past. I'm asking that you take every knife out of their back, God. I ask that you release them from every curse, God, that's within them in the name of Jesus. I ask that you release them from murderous words. I ask that you release them from every religious leader that's come against them, that's cursed them in the name of Jesus. I ask that you break the power, Father, that would try and work death within them in the name of Jesus. I release them. I break the power that Satan and the assignment of Satan against this couple and against this camp. God, we stand in the gap. We pray for this couple. We intercede for them, God. We stand in the gap. We push back darkness. We push back heaviness. We push back the demonic power that would try and walk around them and encircle around about them. We break the assignment of Satan against this couple. You have to bow down. You have to let go. In the name of Jesus, I loosen your hold. I break every curse that's working over them, Father, and over this camp, God. Every devil that would want to put it down, you put a stop to it. No more. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. I command you to loosen your hold. I break the power of judgment. I break the power of words against them. In the name of Jesus. And I'm asking, God, that a fresh anointing would come upon the two of them. Father, that would be greater than anything they've ever known. As Elisha said, he wanted a double portion of the anointing of Elijah. And he wanted it so he could wrestle with Jezebel. He wanted it so he could fight Jezebel. And God, I'm asking that you give them a double portion of the anointing of God greater than Elijah. God, that they could wrestle the forces of hell, God, that come against them. For Father, they have been an instrument exposing Satan in this nation, God. And I'm asking that you give them a fresh anointing, God. And the river of life would flow freely into their lives, God. In open new doors, if it's your will, God. Father, the church needs to hear them, God. The church needs to hear what they have to say. Open new doors, God. Open wide the doors, God. Hallelujah. Open wide the doors, God. Lead on, Father. Lead on, Lord. Lead on, Father. And bless the works of their hands in this camp, God. Bring the people. Bring the workers. Bring them all, Father. Bring ordained people, God, who've been sanctified and set apart, who are holy people, God. Who are people of integrity and honest people, God. Father, I'm asking that those wolves in sheep's clothing would be exposed quickly, God. Father, time is short. We don't have time, God. Father,
yes,
for the enemy to run around us, God. But we need to have discernment, Father. And I'm asking, Lord, that you command weariness to go. I command tiredness to go. I command all the heaviness that they've carried to go and to be lifted. Lord, your word says that my commandments are not burdensome. Hallelujah. And we roll them off of them, Father. We roll them off. To the feet of Jesus, we roll them off. We roll the burdens off. We roll them off. We roll them off, Father. And I ask that you take any hurts out of them, God. Any and all hurts, Father.
All right, take it all.
Father, won't have to be defensive, God, of the gospel. Take the hurts out, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Basandria. He called Basandria, Masandria. Handria, Masandria.
Satan has sent the dark clouds rolling in from the east and the west and the north and the south over this camp to an occult power to keep it hidden, to keep people from coming for deliverance. But God says right now through the word, we're going to roll back those dark clouds in Jesus' name over the heavenlies over this camp. And we command that shield of occult power, those dark clouds, to flee right now in Jesus' name. We command the dark clouds of occult power and heaviness and oppression to go in the name of Jesus. We drive you back with the blood of Christ and the word of God. Father, we ask that you send warring angels into the heavenlies to tear down Satan's domain over this camp, Jesus, and over Hot Springs, Arkansas, and over Little Rock, Arkansas. In Jesus' name, we tear down your kingdom. We command the princes to come down in the air. We send Michael the archangel with the word of God and the sword of the Spirit, God. And we ask that revival would come forth in the heavenlies and be established in the physical in this camp and through this community, God. In Jesus' name. And Father, right now, there's been some accident curses over Glenn right now. They want to bring him down and take him out of commission, God. But we make those curses null and void with the blood of Christ right now. We reject him in Jesus' name. We reject every accident and curse that would bring him out of commission. Let's agree right now. It's heavy on Glenn. Oh, we break him, the hexes, God. Every jinx, God. Yes, Lord. We break it over him.
Break its power right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Release him from the assignment of Satan. We speak confusion into the enemy camp. And we say that he shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And Father, we send confusion into the enemy camp with the word of God. And Father, we ask God that this couple would draw in the spoils of Egypt. We claim the spoils of Egypt for you. The spoils of Egypt for you. Give her new discernment, God. Lift the heaviness off of her, God. And Father, I'm asking that a fresh rhema, God, would come into her, God, that she'd even breathe it into her nostrils, God, a new fragrance, a new refreshing, a new anointing, God. I just see flowers all around you, Irma, and God wants you to smell it and drink it in. He wants you to refresh it, Irma. God's got a calling, and he didn't bring you out here to die. He didn't bring you out here to put a curse of hardship on you. And Father, release this curse of hardship on him right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, break it off of him, God. Let him smell the sweet fragrance of the Holy Spirit to refresh him. Refresh him. Refresh him in Jesus' name. Refresh him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 We break that assignment off of him. We break it off of him in Jesus' name. I break that assignment off of you with the word of God and the blood of Christ. We sprinkle the blood of Christ over this marriage and over this couple, God, and over the plan of God for their future. We speak the will of God over their future in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Yes, Lord.
God, I ask you to fuse this couple together in a deeper dimension than they've ever had, Father. God, let them be each other's rear guard, Father God. They have been in years. They guard one another, Father, but give them that supernatural ability, Father God, just to go on beyond where they are right now. Father, I feel that you're fixing to change gears here in this camp. You're fixing to shift gears, Father. And, brother, there's going to be some changes here. You're going to make some adjustments. You're not going to compromise, but you're going to make some adjustments here. And there's going to be bringing people that have a heart like you have.
Amen.
And the people that are willing to do this for nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're willing to do this for free. I mean, you've sacrificed yourselves and there's ministries around that will do this. And they will do it for free, but they have to be willing to. See, and the heart has to be there. You have to have a servant's heart. And that's what we're here to serve the people. When God called us to the ministry, I know he called you, Glenn, he said you'll be the servant of the people. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to serve God's people and help equip them to combat the enemy. And God, I speak a blessing upon this couple. In the name of the Most High God, God, I ask you that the blessing will overrun them and overtake them. This has probably been spoken on them before, God, but I feel today is the day that this will come into a reality in our life and our ministry, Father. There'll be this ministry, it needs to be heard, and you've been preparing for a long time. I believe that the groundwork's been laid, and the gear is fixing to shift, and the people are going to be coming. You're going to ask you right now, bring in laborers, Father God, or they'll to help them. They will glorify you, and I ask you to release them from any and all past employees that work for them. I ask you to release them and sever that cord right now in Jesus' name. Release them. Release them. Release them in Jesus' name. Yes, and the hurt from the betrayal, the disappointment, God. Irma and Glenn have such a sensitive heart, and they didn't want anyone to be hurt. And that's the difficulty that they have because of the gospel they bring as such a truth. And people sometimes respond like the devil responds. And it hurts and wounds. And God, we ask you right now, here it comes. The sweet savor of the healing ointment of the Holy Spirit. Just flow through them right now. Here it comes. Yes. Here it is. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, sweet savor of Holy Spirit. Sweet savor. Bomb of Gilead, Lord. Bomb of Gilead. It's right here. It's coming down right now. Let's let it come down. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Turn the wireless off. Just try to turn her mic on here. Same volume mine's on. Praise God. Let's just worship Him. He's a good God, isn't He? He don't want to withhold anything from us. Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. My sister in the purple, God hears your prayers, thank you. He hears your prayers. Yes, they don't go on deaf ears. It says He inclines His ear like He did in David. He inclined as He leaned down and listened. What'd you say, honey? He makes that effort to let it go.
Amen. Yes,
just play it, Glenn.
Praise.
Let's worship Him.
Yes.
You go different than you came in Jesus' name.
My bright morning star, my still the same. And I thought that I knew him before. And the things that brought so much pain, he turned to General Rain. And I thought that I knew him before. He's my mercy, he's my truth, he's my bright morning star, he's my righteousness and peace. He's my healer, my provider, my special friend. Be your friend. I knew Jesus before. Worship him. He's my mercy. He's my truth. He's my bright morning star. He's my righteousness and peace. He's my provider, my special friend for all times. And I thought that I knew Jesus before. Yes, I thought that I knew Jesus.
I feel I want to share with some of you. This was a great deliverance that I had in my life, and I feel that it applies to many of you here this morning. It's something called self-pity. And I remember that I probably was the greatest master of self-pity, if that would be the correct way to describe what I had in my life, and I didn't even know it. There are many times that we go through trials and we go through difficulties and discouragement, and we don't hear the answer when we feel that we should hear it, or we don't see the answer to our prayers. And what happens is the enemy comes in and makes us begin to feel sorry for ourselves. And it's a very serious place to be in when you have self-pity. We think it's a light word, oh, she's just feeling sorry, or he is. But I'm here to tell you it's very serious to God. Because he told me that when I was in a state of self-pity, I was at the lowest place that I could get. That no prayer it was ever answered when prayed out of self-pity. We serve a God who is a God of faith. And we have to believe and have faith that he's able to answer our prayers. And there are some of you that you just are in it and you don't even know that that's what it is. But it's a stronghold over your life. And you walk around. And let me give you an example. If you walk into a room and say, now this is how I was. I was very sickly for many, many years. And when I would walk into a group like a gathering or a social gathering or a church service, everyone knew I was sick. I would come in the room and I would sit down and people would come around me and begin to pat me on the back. Oh, how are you feeling? I've heard you're so sick. We've been praying for you. And they began to pity me. And what was happening is they were coming right down under the same power that I had. And God says that's abominable to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have anything to say to anyone who's sick, you walk up to them and say, come on, let me pray for you. You don't feel sorry for sick people because our God is able to deliver. You have my dad, for instance. I wish every one of you knew my father. He's a wonderful man of God. But he has been a joy of my life since I was born. That he can walk into a room and he's so full of Jesus and love and happiness and joy that he lights up the room. We permeate what we are. When you walk into a room and you're full of joy, you're going to lift people up. They're all of a sudden, they're just going to square their shoulders back. Well, I feel good. because someone has brought that. If you permeate what you are. So if you're in self-pity, then you're going to permeate that and you're going to bring people right under you. And I feel if you're saying, I have that, stand to your feet. God wants to break that off of you. Because that very self-pity could be what's hindering your healing and hindering your answers to prayer. I know there's a lot of you. I see it. Listen, I want to tell you, if you even think, well, maybe I do, maybe I don't, forget it. Stand up. I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why. Anytime there's a doubt, you stand up. And I tell you why. God began to deliver me, and I knew that God called me to the ministry. I had a wonderful visitation from God in 1983. I was so full of fear, no one would believe me if I told them what I experienced that day. But it took maybe a year later, I was at a women's retreat, and they said, if anybody here has timidity, and you can't boldly proclaim the name of Jesus and witness and testify, then get up here. And so I thought, reasoned in my mind, I reasoned, speculation, reasoning. I thought, well, I'm pretty good one-on-one, but if I got before a crowd, I wouldn't be real good. And I was reasoning, I don't think I really have that. And all of a sudden, something rose up in me, and I said, well, if I have it, let's get it out. And I literally felt like I jumped over those chairs, and I ran up to the front. Now, listen, when I ran up to the front, I lifted my hands in total surrender, and that thing lifted off of me. Nobody cast it out. It just went. And all of a sudden, I felt this oil, hot oil, come on my head. And it began to pull down like the oil of Aaron. It began to go down my body. And as it went down, my knees buckled and I went down with it. Now I said, all I knew is I was going, ooh, ooh, ooh. I didn't know what to do, what to say. Nobody dared touch me. I knew God was doing something special to me. Now listen, that was the anointing of God that came upon me for the first time in my life. I went back home. Jack was doing his first revival that we'd ever done. He was doing it without me while I was at that room. And so we gathered with all the musicians and all the leaders of the church, and I had never prayed out loud in my life. And he said, Lord, we're going to take turns. Anyone who feels like praying, there's about 20 of us in a circle. And all of a sudden, this thing rose up within me. And I thought, I broke out in a sweat. I kept swallowing. My neck was swollen. I thought, what in the world is this? And I said, something said, you've got to pray. Well, I've never prayed before people. And I let that prayer go. And I tell you, I have never prayed like that. And I tell you, we all began to weep in that circle. We began to cry. The Spirit of God began to pray through me. And I, for the first time, that was the anointing of God. But you know where it came? When I said, I don't care if I got it, let's get it out. It came by being delivered from that timidity. And the self-pity on you is just as strong. And God wants you to experience your own anointing. Because God doesn't expect you to go out and preach the gospel or testify or bring the lost into the church without an anointing. He can't do it. So, stand up and let's get this self-pity off. Now I want you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, lift both hands and surrender. And I want this self-pity out. And timidity. I confess it before you. It has been a hindrance in my life. Forgive me, Father, for feeling sorry for myself. My mom felt sorry for herself. And my dad did. I remember, Lord. They didn't know they could be free. But Father, I confess this sin of self-pity, of timidity. Wash me in the blood. Cleanse me, Lord. I want this out. I want to permeate life, love, and faith. I want you in me. I break the power of insecurity, of self-pity, of timidity. I break it. I put it under my feet. I cast you out. I tear down your lies. You're a liar. I am not a wimp. I am not a weakling. And I shall be whole. In the name of Jesus, I shall be whole. I rebuke you, lying devils. And I command self-pity.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Let it go. Release them, Lord. Hallelujah. Let them go, Father. Let them go all over this place. Let them go. Hallelujah. Command that knot in their throat to go. I command that choking to go in some of these women. You have a choking. I command it to leave them right now. That's worry. Worry and cares of the world. Choke. Choke the word of God. I command worry to go. Release these people now. Father, say, Father, give me my anointing. A fresh anointing. My own anointing. To perform the works of the Lord. To glorify your name. Permeate me with new faith, with new authority, and a new anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise God. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Be thankful to him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Lord. You know, we didn't plan this meeting. You may be seated, but I want to share with you one scripture. I just feel the Lord wants me to share, and I'm going to turn it back over. This was not planned, any of this. We had the privilege of sitting under a precious teacher of the gospel named Harold Dewberry. And this is a message that he shared. I'll not take the credit for it. But in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, I want to read one scripture. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. I feel when we leave this place that God is going to mature us in areas that we've been childlike for a long time. It's very, very important that integrity come to every one of us. That's probably been the greatest downfall of the church, is a lack of integrity, a lack of honesty, a lack of purity. We've all been phonies in our lives. The church has been phony. Jack wrote a song, it's called Healer of My Mind, and it talks about, you're tired of the plastic smiles and silly church games. We've all played them. We're not kidding anyone. And that's why the lost is not flocking to our churches. And God is rebuilding the foundations of our lives, every one of us. There are cracks in every one of us. And God says, I can't build on that cracked foundation. Tommy talked about that the other night. There's been cracks in my life. Some of the greatest cracks is fear and it's lust. Because I'm here to tell you, men and women, you've got to get that lust out of you. You think that nobody knows your thoughts and your imaginations. But I'm here to tell you that God is warning. He's telling you to go to your closet and confess those sins of lust and those thoughts. You might not have ever acted out a lustful imagination. But I'm here to tell you that something has been unleashed upon this world. And I believe it came on January 1st, and it's a seducing power, and it's been unleashed against the body of Christ. We have been as transparent as we know to be, Jack and I and Deanna. We are yielded totally to one another. When we have a dream or we feel it's the Lord, we take it as a warning and we repent. We do all that we can, because to think that we are without or that we cannot be touched by that, we are foolish. The word says in 1 Corinthians, when you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Now listen, there are many men here who you've not dealt with pornography or things like that since you've been saved. But there's a torment in your mind and you cannot shake it. I know it. I see it. There are some of you women who you desire other things other than your husband. And I'm here to tell you that God wants it broken. He wants it confessed. He wants it taken care of, because if you don't go to your secret place and do it, Satan will expose you before people. I have almost daily phone calls or people that come, and we minister to the body of Christ. We don't minister to sinners or unsaved. I can't even count the people since January who I've been raised with and know who have good marriages, who their husbands all of a sudden have been leading private lives of pornography and going and sleeping with prostitutes. They come home one day. These are Christian men
who say, I want my find myself. I'm going to leave you, and I got to find myself. I want to find my identity. And they're trying the way of the world. That this lust is so consuming and burning. You see, that's a right. That's a marker Satan has in us. And when we preach repentance, I'm not preaching anything to you that I have not dealt with. I have dealt with lust in my life. I've dealt with these things. And for me to stand up, or Jack to stand up, or Deanna or Glenn and Irma, and say that God's requiring of you to repent without us doing it, that's hypocrisy. And with us standing before you and me saying this morning, I paid a price to say this to you. I paid a price to say, I know there's lust in you. And God have mercy if you don't come to the cross, that you're going to be exposed and shamed openly. It's serious. The spirit of seduction has been unleashed upon the body of Christ, that we would be called unclean by the world. But I'm here to tell you that there's a few of you, and I pray every one of you that are sitting here that said, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the torment in my mind. I'm tired of the things that compel me and drive me that I can't control. I'm tired of living a secret life. Because when there's secret sin in you, you are closed off to that loved one. And they'll always feel those walls. But when you can be transparent, nobody can pray for you like your wife or your husband. Nobody. I go to my husband when I need prayer. If I have dreams or I have desires, I go to him and I tell him. We've gotten over the jealousy because we've dealt with the fear. See? And I want you to know God means business. Now this first verse in Galatians chapter 4 says, now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. Now I'm going to read that again, and I'm going to tell you what this means. I say, as long as the heir is a child. A child, the meaning for child, is one who is weak in faith and has not developed character. As long as the heir, are we all heirs here today? As long as we are weak in faith and have not developed character, we do not differ at all from a slave. A servant, someone who doesn't even know God. Although we are owner of everything. Have you ever wondered why you haven't come into those blessings you've been praying for 20 years? Could it be that you haven't developed faith and you're not developed in character? God wants these things out of us that we can be. We are owner of all things. God wants to bless us. He wants to make us men and women of integrity. And he's going back even to telling your kids, if you would do something and say, I'm going to go fishing with you, son, that you go fishing with them. Mother, if you tell your daughter you're going to do something next week, then you do it. That you keep your word, beginning from the very foundation, that you be a woman and a man of your word. That's where character, that's where integrity starts. How can God entrust us with great things in the kingdom of God if he can't even trust us in our family? If you can't minister to your own family, how can he trust you to minister to a number of people? That's why this precious pastor back here blessed me. Because when he came up here, the Holy Spirit says he's a man of integrity. And the Lord said, I love him very much. And you have to work to be that way. A man and woman of integrity. I want you to remember that scripture and write that down. One who is weak in faith and has not developed character is what that child means. Amen? That's all I have to say.
Where has the morning gone? The presence of the Lord has, and his anointing has taken care of the time. Time shall be no more. You know, a lot of people wonder, what good is deliverance? What is all this about? Well, if you haven't found out yet what it's all about, it isn't so you can feel better. It isn't so you can be better. It's so you can serve better. We're called to be servants. We hear about the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Where is the kingdom? Why the kingdom? Well, we're preparing for the kingdom. That's what we're doing. And Matthew chapter 6, Verse 10 says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. God had a plan before eternity for a kingdom. And he had a king for that kingdom before eternity. And he had a plan for subjects who would be willing subjects for that kingdom before eternity. And that's what God's plan and purpose is. Subjects for a kingdom, for a king whose name is Jesus. That's the whole plan of salvation, creation, of everything is a kingdom, is subjects for the king, for the kingdom. Talk about the kingdom. We are part of the kingdom. We are the kingdom. And God is cleaning up his subjects so that they'll be worthy to be counted for the kingdom. For the king. Be worthy to be presented without spot and wrinkle for the king. Be ye holy, for I am holy. That we might receive that crown of life which is prepared for those who love him. And his name is Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Emmanuel, Prince of Peace, mighty God is he. Alpha and Omega. Amen. We're preparing for the kingdom. That's what we're doing. So when somebody asks you, what do you need deliverance for? You say, because I'm preparing for the kingdom. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, what a glorious time and what a wonderful final hours of this camp meeting has been, at least for me and Irma, and I trust for the rest of you. Amen, amen. As we make Jesus Lord of every area of our life, we put to heart those things that we see and hear, we might be examples before men of the goodness of the Lord unto the sons of men. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Well, the Lord has been good to us. We've got one last time to help us with the finances here at the campground. We'll close the service with that. And one more song. One more song. One more lunch. And then we'll look forward to 4th of July. Amen. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Okay. Dr. No, come please and pray over our offering this morning. And we appreciate all your financial help. We bless you for it. As best we can do is just say thank you. The Lord is your blessing, not Irma and I or someone else. It's the Lord. It's not us. It's Jesus. And
praise you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for this offering, Lord God. Thank you for it, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just ask you to bless it now, Lord God. Just bless it and multiply it, make it sufficient, Lord God. I ask you to bless those people who give, Lord God, and multiply it back to them, Lord, according to the measures they pour out. For you say, Lord, you say, give, and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, it shall be poured in your bosom. By the measure you give, it shall be measured back to you. So, Lord, just multiply it now, Lord God, and pour it back to the people who give, Lord. Lord, we bind it to the kingdom of God to be used for the furtherance of your gospel and necessities to life, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you and praise your name.